Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Well, welcome to our midweek communion service here in St. Thomas's on Bidbury Lane. It's good to be with you, and again, as ever, I've got Emily with me this morning to help me through the service. Just a few notices quickly before we begin. Just to say, if you are looking for your palm cross for Palm Sunday, they are available for collection here in St. Thomas's on Bidbury Lane. Come along and take your palm cross if you would like one of those, our gift to you this week. And also to say that coming up as we head into Easter, starting this coming Sunday on Palm Sunday, we are going to have the Easter journey around the outside of St. Thomas's. Very similar to our Christmas journey we had, where people can come along and walk the journey that Christ walked over Easter and reflect as they do. And at the end of that as well, there will be a cross where you can bring your prayers to Jesus, where you can bring your prayers to our Lord. A cross to hang or to tie a ribbon to, tie a prayer to, for you to do. As we reflect on the last year, many of us have hurts still left over from the last year with all that's gone on. And you may even have lost someone in the last year and just want to bring a prayer and hang it on the cross, where you should feel free to do so. Other than that, all the usual information is in your sheet, which you probably get by email, and if you don't, get in touch with the office and we will make sure you do. Or again, you can collect it here at St. Thomas's. But today, of course, we're here to worship together. So let's do that and be quiet for a moment before we begin. So we say our prayer of preparation together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. We pause for a moment as we come before a God who is keen to forgive us, and as we reflect upon our lives.
Confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy,
and walk humbly with you, our God. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we come to the collect, the prayer of the week, we take a moment of silence to say our own prayer of thanks before I pray the collect. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Now we come to our readings, and we're continuing through our Lent series of Discipleship Explored, reading through the book of Philippians and exploring how we might be better apprentices, disciples to Jesus. I shall be reading today from Philippians 3, 1 to 9. Paul said, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. It is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is found in faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading is taken from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 42. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are already my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if a son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence. You do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered.
If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not legitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to him, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We live in a society today that revolves around needing a CV. If you're going for an interview for a job, you need a CV. In college, they teach you how to write a CV. We are encouraged to accomplish activities to boost our CV. But at the end of the day, a CV is only a list of achievements and nothing more. In our reading from Philippians this morning, Paul is dealing with people who are stuck in their list of achievements and accomplishments in Jewish law. He even lists his own in verse 5 and 6, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. As Polly said in her sermon on Sunday, Paul considered himself a super Jew. But then in verse 7, he says, but whatever were gains to me now, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul said that his list of achievements and accomplishments were nothing. In fact, in verse 8, he describes them as garbage. Although actually, the original word that Paul would have used is much stronger than garbage. It was probably something more like the word we know but never say, that begins with SH and ends with T. In other words, using some of the strongest language in the New Testament, Paul compares all his good works to manure. So what can we take from this? Well, I think it may be this. God is much less interested in what we do than who we are. What's on your CV and what's not? What God is interested in is who we are. That's quite profound, isn't it? It's very tempting to imagine that God is pleased with our running around and our endless ticked-off to-do lists. But we can forget that it's God's kingdom we're building, not ours. It's God's mission that we're involved in. It's God who will accomplish it. It is God who will build God's church. All that God requires from us is that we learn how to be his adored child. Trusting in God means trusting that God is in control and trusting in his amazing love for us. We do not need to do anything because everything has already been done for us. God already loves us. God already sacrificed himself so that we can be saved and have a life that goes on forever. Now, that doesn't mean that we can just sit back and do nothing. We are still called to live humble lives of service to others because we love God. I, for example, do not wash my husband's smelly socks because I'm looking for his admiration or approval. I wash his smelly socks because I love him. As we've been discussing in our Discipleship Explored groups this last few weeks, we are, as Christians, are called to follow Christ, to be one with Christ. We show our love for God by living the way that Jesus showed us we should live, by loving God and loving each other, but always remembering to be thankful that we are already loved and already saved, not because of anything we do, but because of what Jesus did. Amen. Will you join me now in declaring our faith in God with the words of the Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I was out for a walk with my toddler a few days ago, and he was throwing stones into the river and watching the ripples that the stones caused. The ripples reminded me of our prayers. They reminded me that God is always at work, constantly moving, working, arranging and orchestrating events in our lives. So this morning I thought we could do a short meditation for our prayers. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and imagine, if you will, that you are sitting on the bank of a river. You can feel the warm breeze on the back of your neck. You hear the rustling of unseen animals in the undergrowth. You can smell the intoxicating aroma of the forest around you. Feel God's peace with you as your senses soak up his wonderful creation. You pick up a stone and throw it into the water. You watch as it splashes and then ripples start to form. As you watch, the first ripple starts to erupt. Pray for yourself, for your own personal walk with Christ, your passion for the Lord. Pray for the barriers between you and God, and your desire for his presence and power in your life. Then you notice the next ripple start to take form. This time it reaches a bit further and rocks a leaf that is laying gently on the surface water. As you watch this second ripple, pray for those who are close to you, those who bring you joy. They may be your family, your friends, your work colleagues, your church friends, or your neighbours. Imagine that ripple surrounding those people like a circle of God's love. As you watch, the third ripple begins, again stretching out a little further. You watch the sun as it shines down on the water, casting rainbow colours into the river. This time, pray for your city or town and your country. Pray for our leaders, our church leaders, our teachers, our doctors, our first responders. Pray for God's wisdom to guide our government and their advisors. A fourth ripple now takes shape, and you can see the reflections of the trees over you in the water. You watch the reflections of the birds flying above you and the squirrels jumping from branch to branch. As the ripple reaches out, pray for those who are sick and most in need. Pray for God's healing and his blessing. Also bring to mind those who are dying or those who have moved on from this world. Pray for them and their families. Perhaps you'd like to imagine God's love circling them as well. And finally, the last ripple explodes and it reaches the banks of the river and washes against the flowers nestled in the grass. For this last ripple, pray for our world. Pray for those countries battling war and famine. Pray for the missionaries and the life of the body of Christ worldwide. Father, we lift these prayers to you, and we thank you that you are ever moving and ever working in our lives. Circle us in your love, and never let us slip outside the enchantment of your grace. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you for that reminder that it's not our works. Our works are not the reason that Christ loves us. You may have picked up from Sunday's service that one of our regular Wednesday communion friends passed away this week. Olive Sheesby died earlier in the week with her daughters by her side, peacefully, I'm told, at peace with God now, of course. And so as we come to this moment now of the peace, we bring to mind those that we normally worship with. We might also bring to mind those that we have not seen for some time. Perhaps even friends of ours, like Olive, who have passed on. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. Peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. A hymn for us to reflect upon.
Thank you.
The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son. Born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross, and he put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And so, Father, call into mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world. Rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption as we offer you this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. So, as our Saviour taught us, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body,
because we all share in one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. And so, friends, draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Receive this spiritual communion in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from your table, but you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him. And that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. Emily, the body of Christ broken for you. I receive the body of Christ broken for all God's people. Receive the blood of Christ shed for all God's people. And now a hymn for you to continue to receive your communion with Jesus. Just reflected during the hymn actually how precious communion really is, and how sometimes we can just let it sort of become familiar to us, which is lovely in one way, but also we can forget about the very special nature of remembering Jesus in what we do. A warning for all of us, I guess, and a privilege to lead this service for you, even though we're not physically in the same room together. But let's, in mind of that, let's say our prayer of thanks together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to us. We, whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Do have an amazing week, and do remember that starting this Palm Sunday we have the Easter journey around the outside here for you to reflect on as we head into Holy Week. But for now, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.